Hi, my name's Lisa Aziele. A few days ago, I had the great pleasure of speaking with Dr. Amy Johnson. Amy is a social psychologist. She's a master life coach. She's an author of two books. She's a public speaker. She's taught college-level psychology. She's sailed around the world while teaching. She's a regular guest on The Steve Harvey Show. She's a regular blogger on The Huffington Post. She is often interviewed by The Wall Street Journal and Oprah.com. She's the wife of a Green Bay Packers fan and the mother of two, and it was a great pleasure to speak with her.
I wondered if we could start with, I was fascinated when I saw you, and I read this article on Tiny Buddha, and it really struck me as being different. And then I see that you're a psychologist. You have a PhD in psychology. So you've done a lot of training, and what I was seeing you writing about, it seemed different from what I know about what is commonly taught at college. And so I would, can you just share a little bit about your basic philosophy, and then maybe we could talk a little bit about how you came to it and how that college experience and...
Sure. Yeah. So my basic philosophy has nothing to do with anything I was ever taught in college, as you picked up on. Nothing really, it couldn't be more different in many ways. It's a big departure, I think, from a lot of traditional psychology. But it's very different from a lot of traditional psychology. And at the same time, I think it's more common than a lot of people know. Like, a lot of the things that you and I both sort of write about are things that, you know, when people read them, it's like, yeah, I know that, but I don't know it every day. Like, deep inside, we know that. That's, you know, people say that things resonate with them. It's like, it sounds like truth, but it's not something we all go around thinking about all the time, or definitely not learning about or hearing about from other people. So just sort of in a nutshell, I guess, the idea is that, you know, we are all innately well. We are healthy. So we don't come into this world with all kinds of issues. And that I think a lot of people know. Like, yeah, I was pretty good when I was a kid, but then something happened along the way and I got really stuffed. Yeah. So now I'm a mess, but I used to be good. Well, everyone feels that way. And as much as it looks and feels that way, it's inaccurate, just factually inaccurate in some really important ways, and that we don't get screwed up as we go through life. We just start to think that we are. We just start to feel like it and believe it. And the more we see that actually, you know, what we're feeling, you know, we go through life, we get conditioned by all kinds of stuff, we pick up all kinds of insecurities and fears, and we very innocently learn to kind of look in the wrong direction for a lot of things. You know, we feel insecure, we feel fear as young kids, and we start thinking, you know, we scan the environment for what's wrong, what do I have to fix out there, because out there is the cause of how I feel. And then we start thinking, oh, I have this problem, you know, I'm too shy, or I'm too whatever, I talk too much, or whatever it is that your parents innocently tell you when they're frustrated. We internalize all of that, and that becomes this big problem that we think we have. Yeah. You know, and then it makes perfect sense how we all grow up into these adults who kind of just walk around thinking we have all these issues and that we need to get back to the root of them and stuff. It's so innocent, and it's so easy to see how it develops. And yet, you know, it's interesting to just kind of look at what if we actually are just as well and healthy and kind of mentally clear as we were when we were these cute little happy kids, but for the thinking that we just discussed, but for all of that tape that runs in our head that tells us there's something wrong, you know? So it's different, obviously, from traditional psychology, and that kind of uses the medical model and says, you know, sometimes we do develop these problems, and they are sort of real issues that we need to solve and fix. And this philosophy is kind of more looking at the fact that we bounce back, like our slate clears regularly. And just as humans, we're just used to kind of carrying thought around with us. Yeah. And what we're feeling is all that thought about what's kind of wrong with us rather than the fact that there is something wrong with us.
So it's really different. One model is saying, this is why you are thinking, feeling this way because of these thoughts, this thing here happened, and you were damaged kind of in a way, isn't it? So it's kind of this model of damage, and then, but your model is, you're saying we're not damaged.
Right, yeah. Right, I know. And, you know, and sometimes it's like, okay, well, what good is that? But then sometimes you hear it, and it's like, wow, that's kind of big. Like, yeah. We're not really flawed by anything. Like, the stuff that happened in your past happened, you know, and it hurt you, and there's no question about that. It was, you know, we all have painful experiences. but it doesn't leave this permanent mark that we feel like it leaves. We just believe it does, and to the extent that we believe it leaves this permanent mark, yeah, we feel it, you know, we feel it, and the more we see, okay, maybe it doesn't leave a permanent mark, you know, then we get some freedom from it.
Yeah, and it's confusing, I think, when you first hear that, it's confusing, and so one of the things I love about your stuff, you've got the best email newsletter, it comes out every week. I don't know how you do that, Amy. It comes out every week. And it's this, every week, it's like this gentle little, you talk about that philosophy and you relate it to just something slightly different. So it just kind of tweaks it. You know, I can feel it happening. It just kind of, it helps us make sense and take what you've just said and kind of help it sink a little deeper. Because would you agree it's confusing at start? You know, because if you're not feeling good, if you're feeling depressed and anxious and, you know, you keep repeating the same problems and relationships, and it's really easy, you know, to think there's something wrong. And it's confusing because you're saying there's not, and you're thinking, well, it really feels like there is.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is the worse you feel, the harder it's going to be to, like, wrap your head around what we're saying here. Because we're just, that's just what we've been taught. Like, no, but I feel bad, like, and I need to feel better. When yeah, you're doing that, and we are all there, I mean, literally, I was there last week for a few days. Like, it doesn't ever go away. This is human condition, you know? So, like, when you're there and you're saying, but no, this doesn't feel good, this isn't okay, that's when you're going to be least likely to hear it. But, so it's not so much about getting this understanding, like, understanding intellectually this philosophy that no, you're actually well. It's more about just like letting down all that resistance. Yeah. And it's sort of, it's a weird thing to explain, but it kind of creeps up on you. And that's kind of what you're saying, I think, about the articles. It's like, I try to be subtle with it. Not even just subtle, but like just tie it into some everyday thing. Because in the back of your mind, there's like the undercurrent feeling, you know, that's behind all this, is that you're okay. It's okay. You know, don't take it all so seriously. It's okay. Like, that's what we just want to like kind of keep getting at people. And we, even when our intellect is fighting with that, there's something about the feeling of that that will sometimes kind of come through.
Yeah. And as you've, there's a video on your blog, which I really like, and there's an article in your book about bad moods. And I love the way you describe bad moods and how you see them now that's different to how you used to see them. I don't know. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. That's right, that we, you know, we just don't want to have a... there's a poem we know about that still has them and says, like, this is a problem. Like, yeah, this should, you know. So, seeing that, like, it is the human condition. Everyone, our moods are kind of just designed to go through this sort of up and down. But there's a way in which, like, we can sort of just hold on to something, I think, is a little bit, like, deeper than the fluctuating mood. So to kind of see that the mood, when we see that the mood is just created by our moment-to-moment thinking, whatever we're thinking in the moment is what we're feeling. And it's not even necessarily what we're consciously thinking. It's not like I'm thinking about this interview or what I'm going to have for lunch after or something like that. I mean, there's thought going on with us all the time. And that's what we're feeling. But it's always moving. It's like part of nature, you know. It's always coming and going.
Yeah.
So there's sort of like this safe place. Like the image I always get is standing on shore and watching the waves. And you can be out there on the surfboard in the waves and it's like this huge battle. Or you can kind of stand on shore and watch the waves. Either way, you're experiencing the waves, you know. So you're experiencing the ups and downs of life. We all are. But there's a perspective, I think, that kind of helps you to just sort of, like, see that, okay, I'm a little bit separate from all this. This is my experience, but I don't have to, like, dive into it and surf it and all of that stuff. And when you do that, like, bad moods turn out to be a little bit different. I mean, and not all the time. Again, this isn't a way to get rid of them. But, you know, I mean, there'll be moments when I'm like, man, this is a crappy day. And, all right, well, it is what it is. And there's, like, that just giving into it, you know, that just sort of changes it a little bit.
Yeah, because it's because one of the things I think, and I even notice this when I look at your stuff, and I suspect people, we do it, we all do it, is that we look at someone else, I look at you and gorgeous, you know, and you're talking about the stuff, and it's really easy to think, but you're never sad, that you don't have these bad moods, that it's not a human condition. And so then that makes us feel even more, you know, us feel even worse because we're so, you know, we've got this mental mind that doesn't stop and then we're, you know, and right. It's a funny thing. Like, I know that's not true even. And it's just something our mind, I think it's a habit, isn't it? That, and so it's always refreshing, yeah. I think. And it's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that you also have bad mood. And,
oh yes. Yeah. And I just think there's nothing more kind of destructive in a sense. And it's, you know, innocent, of course, but like, you know, a lot of people just come and say like, I shouldn't feel this way. Why do I feel this way? I shouldn't feel this way. And there's a difference between like, I shouldn't feel this way and this isn't a great feeling. And this isn't a great feeling is like, okay, well, it's raining today. Okay, I hope it's sunny tomorrow. You know, it just isn't like the end of the world, as opposed to I shouldn't feel this way turns into this huge inner battle that we make mean so much. And all that does is prolong how we feel. See it as weather. I love all the like the nature and the weather metaphors because they're perfect. You know, like we are part of nature and what we experience comes and goes just like the weather comes and goes. So it's, you know, it's really kind of nice to use those metaphors sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, because I tend to think it's like that we, that in those sort of darker times that there's something shifting and we're learning that how do you see that kind of thing? Or do you,
I'm not sure. It's interesting. Like I like that thought. I don't know, you know, I don't know obviously if that's true or not, but, I definitely experienced and talked to a lot of people who have experienced that where it looks like it feels like the dark stuff brings something better, even better than you would otherwise have on the other side. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I definitely think that's possible. And the thing is, I mean, that's the thing about thought, right? We're always kind of making it up. Like, if that sounds real to you and it feels like your experience and it feels good, that's awesome. Why would you argue with it? If someone else says, no, life is totally random and, you know, then, okay.
This is, because we and then, like, what a wonderful world at the moment. We've got the internet and we've got books and we can buy books on our Kindles and, you know, have them delivered, you know, very quickly. We have all this information and a lot of it is, I mean, it's all well-meaning, but some of it feels like it's adding more, using that medical model. It's trying to help, but telling us we need to follow this advice, which, you know, ties into your email today. Follow this advice or try and change your thoughts. You know, there's a lot of, you know, those little pictures that come up on your Facebook feed and they're sweet and they make sense. You know, think happy thoughts and you'll be happy. And it's kind of true, but there's something about the huge amount of information that we get that is suggesting we need to be different. And you're not saying that, are you? You're not.
No, and I mean, it's suggesting that we need to be different. I think it's also just appealing to what people are used to, right? So we're very used to, like, if we want something to change, we need to go out and make it happen kind of mentality, which is like you're saying, it's very empowering in one sense. And on the other sense, it's so easy to use that to beat yourself up with.
Yeah.
Because suddenly everything's your fault. If you're not feeling, you know, or it can look that way. It's not, but, you know, people are using it that way sometimes. Like, oh, well, now I'm in charge of this. So what am I doing? Why am I slacking? I'm making myself feel better. As if it's, you know, this switch that we just can reach out and turn on. And my experience is that the change your thoughts, the mantras, the affirmations, the very active kind of self-help stuff, for me, it didn't really, you know, I think every technique and tool has some validity and it usually works in the short term, but I just don't see those things like changing people's lives unless you are unless you're really disciplined and want to like wake up and apply it every day. I don't want to wake up and apply anything every day. I just want to wake up, you know, and like enjoy what's there. So it's just a little bit of a different, like, some, you know, not anything bad on those approaches, but what I have seen a lot of is that people say, like, man, that's a lot of work. And then it's easy to get frustrated when it doesn't do what you think it's supposed to do. So the beauty in that is that maybe we don't have to do all that work. Maybe it's easier than all of that. And that if our nature, our default nature, like what we were born with and what we always have, is that kind of lightness and wellness and stuff. it makes sense to kind of look more at what's in the way and just see through that in a sense, you know? So it's like, okay, if I'm still that happy baby that I was born into, whatever's covering that up is just a bunch of like thinking. It's a bunch of insecure stuff going on in my head. And the more that we start to see the truth about all that stuff in our head, you know, that it is kind of like the waves that just come in and out, and we don't have to respect every wave that floats into our head. We don't have to pay attention to it or surf it. We can just kind of let it come and go a little bit. Then you just see that there's something underneath. Like, that's what I love in your article about your year of silence, you know, it's like, there was all kinds of crap that came in your head. Like, you sounded crazy for a little while.
I was a little.
But, and you didn't do anything with it. And what you saw is what naturally happened at some point when it just washed away was there was goodness underneath there, or peace, or something good underneath. I just find that so comforting.
Yeah, it is. It is. So how, I'd love to go back to this idea of advice, but before we do that, how did you come to have this change? Because, I mean, it's a long time to be at college. It's a long time to doing a PhD and studying one thing. And I get goosebumps when I think about it, to have a change, and to adopt a new way of thinking, it's easy to get stuck in that way that we're taught, and you had a lot of teaching in one way. So what happened? How did you flip? Was it because you were working with clients and then you tried something new, or was it a personal thing?
It was more personal, but it was a couple things. So one, I mean, part of it, like, it did feel like a big shift for sure in many ways, like you're talking about, because I was, you know, when you're in graduate school, your mentor is like God for you. And this man is, you know, very stringent and all about like the methodology and that whole approach. And so to tell him a couple years after I left graduate school that I was now a life coach was like, I mean, that's not, you don't want to tell him that. So, so in that way, you know, I mean, it was a huge deal. And the other side of it though, when you say that part of it, like I was kind of raised around this more spiritual stuff. In a sense. I mean, so I kind of, you know, like my mom was always like reading Wayne Dyer and more like the spiritual side of things. And so that wasn't really foreign to me, like, you know, in that way. And in fact, in many ways, that felt more like my nature. So it was, I guess I was kind of just straddling the line for a long time. So maybe it was less of a huge leap. But I think a couple things. I mean, one, as I wrote about a little bit in my first book, when I was in graduate school, I had severe panic attacks and anxiety disorders where I like couldn't even leave my house barely for almost 2 years. Yeah. I mean, I still went to school and did the bare necessities, but it was hell. Yeah. And I got some kind of traditional psychological help that was somewhat helpful in that. But I think through that experience, I started to see like, just the limitations in those approaches, you know, and being told that I have this disorder and that this is like a real thing and looking at where it came from, trying to dig to like, where did this come from? And it was so irrational and like, you know, well, you know, you're not going to die. And I'm like, well, yeah, I know I'm not going to die, but why do I feel this way? So yeah. I think the whole thing highlighted for me that psychology in that traditional way, again, is so well-meaning, but it's not, it just isn't as helpful as, it maybe once, maybe it wasn't ever, I don't know, but it wasn't all that helpful. I knew there was more. There had to be more. And then that was kind of coupled with, I read some studies that showed that people who went into traditional therapy for some amount of time, a year later, they actually had the same kind of success rates as people with the exact same issues who didn't get any therapy, who just sort of like went on with their life. And it showed almost like this spontaneous recovery that people are capable of. It really just showed like how resilient. And of course, the studies were all about like, well, what was wrong with, you know, the therapy approach, or something was wrong, you know. But like, to me, I was like, wow, like people are resilient, you know, on their own. And maybe this stuff isn't as helpful. And again, like, I don't want to bash that at all, but I just, that combined with all the spirituality stuff that I sort of had already was just interested in on the side, kind of was pointing toward this big shift that's happening. And it's just super exciting. It's like, I really believe that we're at such a cool time in this where we are moving away from that medical model. And I think my grandkids, or, you know, maybe even sooner, will look at that and think it's so antiquated that we used to lay on couches and talk about past as opposed to seeing things in a new way. So it feels really cool to be like on the sort of on the cutting edge of that.
So do you still get anxiety? Is that still an issue? Do you have it in a small way, or is it just all gone?
No, and that's the thing. That was something I was always told, by my therapist. Well, this is, when things get rough in life, you're probably always going to have this a little bit, but we can learn to cope with it. We can teach you to help to manage it and all of that. And no, people tell me that I'm like super calm and relaxed now, which is kind of odd. Like it's not that I don't have, I'm still a little high strung. I'm still like very active, almost type A-ish, but it doesn't feel like anything like anxiety, which kind of goes to show like how much the label is, that's not my experience of it anymore. I think I have the same personality I always had, but my experience of it is different because of what I've kind of seen about where our experience comes from, and that I just don't make that much of it. Like back then it was like everything was super important and it was all about me as a person and I had to do this and that. And then I think this naturally happens for people as you get older a little bit sometimes too, is you just kind of like let go of all that stuff that we were so worried about in the past. Not for everyone, but I've seen some people just naturally make that shift and it just looks less serious. And the thoughts are still there, anxious thoughts might still be there, but there's like a new way of relating to them.
Yeah. Cool. And I remember when I was, in college and I was depressed and I didn't know I was depressed and I went to the doctor and they gave me the label of depression. And at first it was like, it was kind of upsetting because I thought that was for some, people that weren't me and I was this, this chirpy, upbeat person. Wasn't particularly, but I thought I was. But there was the label was comforting at first. It was shocking, and then it was comforting. It was like, oh, cool. And then it wasn't so. And then I came to learn and was able to let go of the label and just see that state as just a part of me. So there were sort of these phases that I went through.
So. That makes a lot of sense. Because I think the label gets comforting in a way because we think, okay, well, this is something. I know, this is a thing, and there's a solution out there for it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much we could talk about. I've been reading. I'm just going to talk a little bit about this. So this is your second book, Being Human, which is I love it. I've just reread it, and it's in the beginning. The whole thing is so gentle, and even in the way you describe how to read the book, it's not about you explain that when we shouldn't read it to. Try and get something out of it, but to just let the ideas wash over you. And that's that was my experience reading it. And when I wasn't expecting it, when I was lying awake at night and I couldn't sleep and I was thinking ahead, that something you'd said in the book came to me and it was like, it's got this wonderful gentleness. And there's so many things we could talk about in here, but one of them was a conversation that you had, and you might have other examples of this, but this idea with a client about this idea that there's things that are good for us to do, like exercise is good for us to do, so we should get up and do exercise, and maybe how that and how to balance or how what we do with that kind of information, and how sometimes this can cause us problems. I'd love to hear your thoughts about that, and maybe you could explain it better than me.
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing to navigate. I mean, I think we all fall into this. So I think the story you're talking about in there is like a client was saying like, well, it's a nice day and I don't have anything to do and I haven't exercised in a while and I really should go for a walk. So, something like that. But she really didn't want to go for a walk. And, so obviously that can apply to a million different things. And anytime, the word should is kind of a huge red flag, but just kind of noticing that stuff that we feel like is the right thing to do, but maybe you feel like doing it and maybe you don't. And I think the bigger kind of idea in that is, like what guides our action and this whole sort of approach like sort of assumes that there's something bigger than us. I think that's obvious to anyone, regardless of your religious or spiritual beliefs. Like we're not spinning the planet and making things grow. Like there's something much bigger, more powerful than us out there. And the idea is that that sort of runs through us as well, and that kind of powers us as well, just like it powers all of nature and everything else. And that when we just sort of allow ourselves to be guided by that, things, you know, it's easy to say things tend to work out, but even work out is a label that our mind gives us. Like, this was good or this was bad. Yeah. I mean, we will just do things. We see this all the time. We spontaneously just get up and do things. And we don't have to necessarily use our mind or use our judgments or our opinions and make ourselves do certain things. We will just do them in life. And it can get really tricky when we start overthinking things, as we all do, and we start thinking about what we should do or how things should look or how they should go, and especially when that's sort of at odds with what we feel inclined to do, then we get in a little bit of a crunch. Like, I don't feel inclined to go for a walk, right? I feel inclined to take a nap right now, but my mind is telling me, you know, go for a walk. And so, you know, a common place that I think people go with that is like, well, how do I distinguish? How do I know whether it's like my inclination or my wisdom versus just my thinking? Mm-hmm. And to some extent, I mean, I sometimes go there. It's that feels like a little, not a great place to go, because I feel like that's just adding more thinking to it. You know, now we're like supposed to dissect it. Is this wisdom or is this just a, you know, just a habitual thought, or, you know, and it gets a little messy. So to some extent, like, we can say, yeah, like, you know, if you're badgering yourself to do something in your head, and it doesn't feel good, chances are that's just some habitual badgering coming up, and you can probably kind of let that go and nothing's going to fall apart. But, you know, again, I don't know if we want to like get into dissecting it. I think just the bigger idea is that, like, it's all good. Like, the only way it can be bad is if we decide to make it bad, and that we are safe. Like, we can trust our inclinations. And sometimes you have to do it a little bit to see that you can trust your inclinations, but your inclinations aren't going to lead you astray. Like, we have something in us that we don't have to make every tiny little decision in our lives with our heads. We can kind of relax and do a lot less and see where we're guided to go. And even if that means that one week you exercise less than your mind tells you should, well, I don't know what's wrong with that. If there's anything wrong with that, maybe next week you're going to exercise more. Who knows? Maybe exercise isn't that great for you. We don't know, you know? So kind of, we don't have to try to figure it all out ahead of time and then live our lives according to how our minds tell us we should.
Yeah. So there's, I mean, and there's a, how do you, so there's a, and there's a balance, isn't there? Because I love learning. I love, you know, learning about new things and, you know, different projects and trying to, so learning, but also taking that information and then somehow, but not letting it take over, and that their advice needs to completely fit me. Like, cause so there's a balance, isn't there? Because how do you see that? Because you do a huge amount of things, and I'm a lot of them, you know, must be new, and you must, you know, you have to learn to do all sorts of things. So how do you, I mean, it's just a juggling, not a juggling, but it's just sifting through and just, is it taking that information and?
Yeah, and I think it, you know, I think it happens naturally. That's the thing, is that it isn't even our job to decide what that we've learned we want to then apply and stuff. It's almost like it kind of happens for us in a sense. Like, you could learn a million things, and some things are just going to really deeply resonate with you, or just, you know, those things you read or whatever that you just don't forget. You're like, it just leaves a mark on you, and other things aren't the same. And so I think there's like a natural way that some of that sifting happens too. Yeah. And does that make sense? And like, just to kind of let it happen a little naturally and trust, I guess, or just know that the things of everything we take in, like, we don't have to decide, I agree, I disagree, I believe this, I want to apply this, I want to leave that behind, you know, in a way that really does happen for us. It's just like kids with learning. I mean, they don't sit there and decide all that, but they hear things all the time. Some of it naturally comes out in their actions and stuff, and they just kind of naturally take it in. And other things you have to tell them 1,000 times. Like, I have to tell my kids about, like, cleaning and things they picking up, not screaming, things that they don't really want to hear, but at some point, I guess they're going to get it. Yeah. It's kind of the same with us. If it's important to get, I think at some point we'll get it.
Yeah. So the other this sort of ties into it, this idea that, and we've talked a little bit about this before, the idea that, you know, our mind, which sort of is so bossy and wants to, you know, we kind of want to know, we feel secure when we think we know what's going to happen, and this idea and how this works for us. I don't know if you've got any stories of your own or with clients, or if you could talk, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, this idea of the future and now, and, you know, how that can kind of get us caught.
Yeah, I love this whole topic because it's so often people will say, like, that they, and I feel it too, I experience it too, like we all do, you know, like, well, I'm kind of stuck. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I don't know where I'm going with this, or I don't know where this is headed, or what, like, you know, I mean, we want to see what's ahead because, like you said, it just feels safe somehow.
Yeah.
Even though when we really look at it, we kind of all know that we've completely made it up, because how the hell could we know what's going to happen in the future? So basically we make up a story. We get really comfortable in our imaginary invention. And then we just kind of let it go because, you know, we believe what we made up. But sometimes that's not really possible, or we're not believing our invention, or we just don't, you know. So then you feel like, oh, my gosh, I'm just out here flailing. Like, I don't have anything to hold on to. And I think kind of back to, like, letting, like, following hunches and letting this, you know, I call it wisdom a lot, but whatever it is. I mean, it really, wisdom even is too big a word sometimes, because it comes through as just common sense. It's the same kind of energy and thing that when we get off this interview is, you know, is going to lead us to just walk up, stand up from our computers and walk away and do whatever we do. It's not profound always, but it's something within us that kind of guides us along the way. And letting that do what it's there to do, and just letting it kind of take you to the next step. So especially when you're doing something big, like starting a business or writing a book or planning a move, like where you can never, ever do 50 things ahead of time, but your mind wants to, all you have to do is just be in this moment and follow your next hunch. And like for that, I would get like these visuals and things. I don't know what this is, but like I imagine, maybe this is in a movie or something where like the steps, you know, like you step down and it lights up, and then the next step, like you're stepping down the staircase and the next step lights up. Like you're not going to dive to the end of the staircase and like have them all lit up ahead. It just doesn't work that way. But you take that next step and it lights up, and suddenly from that place, from in the moment, in that place, you're going to get another punch. Like hunches there's no shortage of hunches, you know, you're getting them all the time. We all are, every day, all day. So just take the one you have and kind of see where that leads you. But I know it's definitely, it definitely feels scary sometimes when our mind wants to see way ahead.
Yeah. And we can forget that it's even doing that, you know,
and
before we know it, we're worrying. And then, yeah.
And there's a lot in there too, I think, about very well-meaning self-help that has this, like, you know, trying to have a vision for the, you know, you have to know what you're going toward or you won't go anywhere, and just setting goals and all of that kind of bigger stuff that, again, was people talk about in very well-meaning ways, and it can be helpful, but I think it also kind of is easy to use that and think, well, because I don't see what I know exactly what I want my life to look like in 10 years, there's something wrong.
Yeah. And it's, do you have young, you know, because I'm thinking about, you know, the grad, you know, the person that's just come out of high school, and I'm with myself, and I see this a lot with the young people, because we go through high school and we're trained to do the opposite of what you're talking about. You know, at an age where really, we haven't really, most of us, well, me, I didn't know who I was. I'd spent a lot of time being sort of told that I was this thing. And then, you know, we have to have a plan, and then we can go to college or do whatever or not go to college if that's what our thing was, or, you know, whatever it is. And what would you, do you have anything to say to someone that's in that place? Because it's, I don't know.
Life just kind of unfolds, and we aren't, you're right, I think most of us are not told that, and because it kind of goes against this whole, like, do what you want to do, like, you can do anything, if you have to make it happen, and all of that, you know, pep talk, kind of gets us thinking, like, okay, well, there's a lot on me then. I can do anything I want turns into, okay, I have to figure this out. Instead of being this thing that was meant to give us all this freedom and empowerment, it becomes like a big task that we, or a big chore that we like task ourselves with. Mm. So you can do anything you want. We all can. And we can do that at any point. You don't have to know from the age of 17 what you want your life to look like in order to do anything you want. I mean, like, we're changing and we're able to kind of do anything we want from any point. And that's what I love. Like, that's what I kind of love about this whole slate clearing thing, is that in a sense, I mean, like, life is brand new in every single moment. If we don't drag all of this stuff with us, which we do, but when we don't, when we see that that's what's happening and we do it a little bit less, like when I say drag all the stuff, drag the past, and you're a creative person, so you should do this, Lisa, or like, you're, people in your family go to college, so this is what you should do, and all of that, like all of that stuff, when we just kind of leave that there, and we're really truly in this moment now, I mean, like anything is possible, and you get hunches, like you will get guided, you don't have to figure this all out with your head. So that's kind of what I'd want to tell them. It's like, it's really awesome when how life sort of unfolds. And it doesn't, we just don't have to figure it all out. And in fact, you know, thinking like having it figured out, the people who know, you know, all through high school that they're going to be a nurse and then they get accepted to nursing school and like everyone is jealous of that person. I was so jealous, like, oh my gosh, she's known since she was born what she wants to be. And look at, she's going to the school and like her life's going to be so perfect and she has her boyfriend and they're going to get married. And like, I mean, I don't know how that girl turned out, but I know that like a lot of us that were completely lost turned out pretty damn good. And not because we had it all figured out, you know, just because like when you kind of just see that you, that life will sort of carry you along. And when that's okay, it's just, it's really fun and it's really exciting. I mean, isn't it kind of cool to like, not know what's going to happen and get to create it. If there wasn't all the fear there, that would be the most exciting adventure ride in the world. We would all want to be in that place. The only reason we don't, you know, is because our mind is full of a lot of fears about what that's going to mean and stuff. And so, you know, that's kind of part of like seeing all that fear and just not having to respect it all, just letting it kind of come and go, because everyone has it. Even the nurse who has her life planned out and did everything, she has a lot of fear, I promise you, and a lot of insecurity.
Yeah. And you get, like you say, you get better at it, don't you? Because of course, when we have these plans and they don't go to plan, this causes huge distress for people, doesn't it?
Yeah.
One other thing I wanted to talk about briefly, and it was this idea that you, that we're spinning, how did you put it? And someone had shared it with you, that we're spinning, what is it? That we're spinning.
Getting on a planet through outer space.
Sitting on a planet, spinning through space. That resonated with me as well, because it really, you know, because we can sort of feel like we are the planet and we in our head is this huge big thing.
I got that from Michael Singer's book, The Untethered Soul, which is a fabulous book. I highly recommend it. And he just said it like that. And when I read that, I was like, wow, yeah. And it's so funny because like I have these little kids and we go for walks and stuff. And my daughter, like as she's kind of learning about things, like, I'm upside down right now. We're not. We're not upside down right now, Mom. We're not. And just to see it almost through a kid's eyes too, it's like, wait a minute. Like our world is like this and it's our whole universe and we worry, you know, like our world, like what we see and what we live in and what we're doing at noon and then 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock and all of that garbage. I mean, I live in it too, but then, and it looks so big and so important, you know, and then you think, wait a minute, first of all, there's this like city around me and then there's this country and then wait a minute, we're on a planet and we're spinning through outer space. Like who gives a crap what to look like or that you're having a bad hair day or what you're doing for, you know, all of this other stuff. And again, it's one of those things that's like an insight. Like you have a moment where it really hits you and then you lose it. And then you're like, no, I know I'm on a planet, but darn it, I still don't want to do this thing this weekend or whatever, you know? So you kind of come in and out of it. But I think it's a cool thing to kind of have in your back pocket. Sometimes it will really affect you and you see the profoundness of it, and other times it won't. And I think that's true of everything, you know, everything we've talked about, and just life, because our state of mind changes, and so we see a different reality when our own state changes. So some of the stuff really hits you, and sometimes it doesn't right away. But that's the cool thing about it, is you never know what you're going to get, you know? I mean, somebody might hear this, and then, like you were saying about the book, like a month later, it might hit them. They're sitting on a planet spinning through outer space. You never know, because that's the cool thing about our experience changing so rapidly.
Yeah, and I love the idea of having it in your back pocket, because it's, I find, like, if you're in a more distressed or worried state, and then when, you know, and one of these ideas that we might have in our back pocket comes to us, and it, so we don't need to be, for me, you know, I don't think about these things all the time, but I love it when it pops up, and it just, it's not like it makes everything go away, is it? But it just dampens it, and it's like, oh, God, yeah. And just quietens everything down, and thank you. You've added to my back pocket, Amy. Really, I mean, I love your stuff, and I just encourage anyone that who doesn't know you, and that to have a look at your blog and your email newsletter, which is free, and there's so much in there, and even your book. I know you can buy it on Amazon, on a Kindle for a few dollars, or the paperback, and you can even, I notice, read. You can read the first chapter on your blog, and in my Amazon account, it says you can read it on a digital app for free. So
yes, I think it's like if you have Amazon Prime, because if you can borrow it for free. So some people can,
Okay.
But it's cheap anyway. I think, I don't know, the Kindle version is really cheap, like $5-6.
Yeah. Very cheap. And anyway, I hardly push, and I don't even want to push this. I'm just going to say that this book, I've really enjoyed it, and I love your stuff, and thank you. Maybe we can do this again sometime.
Yeah, well, thank you, and I really love your stuff too, and so like anyone of my people that might see this someday, I mean, I can't wait for your book to come out. It's going to be awesome, and it's just fun and light, and it's simple, you know, very similar ideas, obviously. We have a lot of the same philosophy, but that whole way of like not writing it in a you should do this or try this kind of way, but just telling stories, you know, I think it's so fun to read. And it's not only fun and easy to read, you're not going to feel bad about yourself when you're reading all the five things you should be doing or whatever, but yeah. It like gets in on a different way too, you know, it kind of bypasses the intellect, because I mean your stuff is like full of pictures and it's like funny, and it gets past the intellect, which is what we need. This isn't intellectual stuff we're talking about, it's kind of beyond that, you know, it's like something you just get a feeling for. So any way that people out there can read different things, just get a feel for them. They'll be so of so much more service to you than trying to kind of figure it out with your head.
It is tricky, isn't it? It's getting that, because we take in information with our head, but we're trying to like disconnect and anyway. The gentleness is the way, I think, and I love that about your stuff. So thank you very much. And
thank you.
Yeah, right. Bye.
Okay, thank you.